next on All Access.
And welcome, everyone, to Foxborough. Dick Stockton along with John Lynch.
I have never worked a day in my life doing any sport. NFL is at the top of my list. I love the National Football League.
You've got to do a good job and execute well against them, or he'll make you pay for it.
When he first moved here, his experience was in wrestling and skiing and kind of some outdoor sports. I don't think he'd ever played an organized team sport prior to that.
You know, record's whatever the record is, but we're moving on. We play game by game, day by day.
For the second straight week, the Patriots were in position to win the game, only to lose at the buzzer. Welcome to Patriots All Access. I'm Steve Burton. For the first time in 9 years, the Patriots have a losing record. And things don't get any easier as a trip to Buffalo to face the 2-1 Bills is on tap. Is week four too early to label it a must win? We'll preview the matchup with the Bills throughout the show, but we begin with a look back at Sunday night's sights and sounds from Baltimore.
The sights and sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the Patriots.
Prime time, baby. Prime time. We're all we got. Everything we got. Every play. That's what we got to do, fellas. Let's go.
However long it's going to take tonight.
Yes, sir.
Dominate all night. Yeah. This team stopped us from a Super Bowl run, man.
They're going to give it to us, bro. Got to go take it.
We protect this out. Let's do what we do best, man.
What time is it?
Flacco on play action, back to throw, fires up the field, it's intercepted at the 40, 35-30, right side 25-20, 15 to the 10, and inside the 10 and out of bounds for the Patriots is Steve Gregory.
I love it.
Hand off to the left and charges into the end zone, touchdown.
The most important thing is keep playing this up-tempo mode and try to get them miss a line and not being able to call their stuff.
So you guys got to stay alive with me. I'll call the mic, then I'll tell you guys, yeah.
Flacco, play action and back to throw. Look, shoots it to the left, and it is going to be caught in the end zone for a touchdown.
Y'all got to go and attack it. Attack them. Come back here.
Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Better pull the trigger in a hurry. He does. Touchdown right over the middle to Julian Edelman. How about that?
And we just got to keep playing like that.
Hand off to Rice, going to go right up the middle and in. Touchdown. Boy, that was too easy.
Just keep fighting your ass off like you guys are doing.
Hand off Woodhead coming up the middle, slams it down to about the one, and he's in.
Yes.
Touchdown, Danny Woodhead. Flacco, the handoff to Ray Rice coming to the left. He shreds tacklers for a first down. Hand off to Ray Rice again to the left. He breaks a couple of tackles, gets it to the 35-yard line.
When they're in the I formation, we got to stop the run.
Snap is on the money, back to throw. Going to be hit and sacked. The kick is up. The kick is good. And the game is over. And the Patriots lose by a point.
This conversation with Bill Belichick is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now to sit down with the coach. And, Coach, before we get into Baltimore, we sit here every week and you talk about being prepared, playing for 60 minutes. When you lose a game like you did in Baltimore,
you know, things are going well, you don't finish. You have chances to put them away. Does it frustrate you when it's not full 60 minutes played the way you want it to be played?
Well, anytime you don't come out on top, it's frustrating. It isn't a good feeling. So we had a lot of opportunities in that game throughout the course of the game that we could have maybe made more out of. And, of course, you always focus at the ones on the end. But there are plenty of opportunities throughout the game. We all got to do a better job.
It's a result sport. Everybody focuses on the record. Your team's in an unfamiliar spot. You're sitting there. You're 1-2. But I've heard you before talk about you break up the season, and it's not an every round fight. It's a marathon. It's early. What's the message you send to the team? You know, how do you approach it? You know, in the spot you're in right now, with a long way to go.
Yeah, 1 week at a time. Buffalo's the only thing we can do anything about right now. So that's where all of our attention and focus is.
You do a great job eliminating distractions. Now, obviously, there's a league distraction going on right now with the referees. What do you tell your team? How do you help them to prepare for games, to go out and actually play the game and not worry about other things?
Well, just concentrate on things that we can control. And what we can control is our preparation, our performance, and all the rest of it's really out of our control. So if we do a good job on that, that's the best we can do.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will rejoin us later in the show as we talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Coming up on All Access.
We follow Nate Solder's path to the NFL.
Well, I always thought he had potential to be a college-level athlete. I don't know if anybody knew he would play in the NFL at that time.
Coach Belichick previews an explosive Buffalo Bills team on the Belastrator.
It's not bad coverage by Kansas City, but not quite good enough.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Congratulations to Patriots Chairman and CEO Robert Kraft, who was nominated to the Pro Football Hall of Fame this week. Kraft is part of a group whose candidacy will be reviewed by the selection committee in November.
Welcome back to All Access. It will be a homecoming of sorts for Gronk when the Patriots travel to upstate New York, where Gronk was born. Dan Roach explains that much is at stake for the Patriots.
The game is over and the Patriots lose by a point.
For the second straight week, the Patriots suffered a last-second heartbreaking loss. And now, for the first time since 2003, they sit below 500.
You can't, you know, sit around for 4 days and mourn a loss and say, God, you know, this is the end of our year. I mean, we're 1-2. We're not in a good position right now. We're in the exact position we deserve to be in. And, you know, we got to do something about it.
No one wanted to be 1-2. No one. But when you don't go out and put your best football on the field, this is what happens. I mean, the thing is, we're not panicking, you know, but at the same time, we're not being relaxed either, as if we got everything under control. You know, we still got to go out and play ball.
And things won't get any easier this week as the Pats visit the 2-1 Bills in Buffalo.
We went up there last year, didn't put our best foot forward. You know, now we got to make sure that we go out and don't have the same thing occur this year. You know, we know what to expect from those guys. It's going to be a, you know, very intense game, hostile environment, same as Baltimore.
Meanwhile, despite a week of bad officiating talk swirling around the team, the Pats know it's on them to get better, especially late in games.
I don't think it's from us not knowing what's going on out there. I just think we need to do a better job executing.
We got to execute and do what we've been practicing throughout the game, and then especially in those key moments at the end of the game.
And when it comes to the officiating, regular refs, replacement refs, Tom Brady says it shouldn't even be a factor.
You can't worry about what call was made or not made or who's out there or the wind, the weather, the, you know, the crowd noise. It's just part of mental toughness that you got to persevere.
And the good news for NFL fans this week is finally the league and the officials came to a contract agreement. So now on Sunday in Buffalo, it'll be about the Patriots players, the Bills players, as well as the coaches and the fans, not about the officials. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much for joining me. Now as Patriot safety Patrick Chung, and let's go back to the Baltimore game. I know you want to put it behind you, but you guys started out playing pretty good defense in the first quarter, and you went to stopping the run, and in doing so, you were able to bring the safety up. You had to come up at times, but did that open up the pass as the game went along?
I mean,
making adjustments.
I'm gonna give you to you, man. We're not talking about Ravens. Ravens are over. I mean, they got their win. It's over.
Moving on. Over. Win or lose, though, you guys treat that the same way, right? If you were to beat the Ravens,
guaranteed.
Would you be here talking about the Ravens?
Guaranteed. If you win, you still got to move on. If you dwell on the game before, it's only gonna mess you up for the game coming up. So, man, we're over that. We're over that. It is what it is. We're on to Buffalo.
Okay, on to Buffalo.
Definitely.
What is the mood in that locker room right now?
At
being 1-2?
No, we're good, man.
This team's not normally used to being below 500.
You know, and every team's not perfect, you know, but we're good. We're playing good, and, you know, record's whatever the record is, but we're moving on. We play game by game, day by day. So we're over that. We're not going to hang our heads. We're just going to keep playing ball.
Buffalo Bills, a team that...
they're good.
They are good.
Yes.
They beat you last year up there.
Yeah. I don't like bring back bad memories, but it's all good, yeah.
You do recall that?
Yeah, that I've seen it.
You've seen it?
I've seen it.
Okay. How do you stop Buffalo?
They're good. I mean, they have a lot of players, man. They have a lot of players, and they have a confident quarterback that's going to throw the ball in there regardless. If he thinks he can make the throw, he's going to throw it. So, and they have some injuries, but their backups are good. You know, their backups are good. They make plays. They run hard. They run good routes. They can break tackles. I mean, they can throw the ball. They're good. They're dangerous.
They lead the league in rushing, and yet you bring up the fact that, yeah, they like to spread the ball around as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're very balanced. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. They have good special teams. They're a good overall team.
As a leader on this football team, what do you say to your teammates to really spark this team, to really get this team going?
I honestly, man, I don't have to say anything because
we
have that mentality. We have to move on and keep playing hard, and we'll be fine.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
Good luck this week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
We are moving on. So even if you beat Buffalo, then you're moving on next week.
Moving on, man. And once you get the win, it's in the past. You got to get another one.
All right. Patrick Chung, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this. He's moving on.
Moving on, baby.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. Patriots All-Pro tight end Rob Gronkowski has a team named after him in the Israeli Football League. It's called Get Gronked. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI No-Nonsense Point-Counterpoint Debate. All right, last week against the Ravens, the Patriots defense got rocked just a little bit, gave up over 500 yards of total offense. So is this an aberration or trend?
What we saw Sunday night was absolutely not an aberration. What it is the evolution of a young defense getting its legs and playing against one of the better offenses in the National Football League. What I'm looking for is what's going to happen in November and December.
It is absolutely an aberration, and you know why? Because they faced arguably one of the most diverse offenses in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have a great running back, a good quarterback, and good receivers. The good news is Patriots don't see that again until December when they see the Houston Texans. There's only a few offenses built like the Ravens in the NFL. Patriots may struggle with those, but others, they're okay.
All right, this is an aberration. I don't think it's a trend. Now, we knew coming into this season that we had a young defense, a lot of rookies on the defensive side of the ball. We knew eventually they were going to hit some road bumps, some speed bumps, if you will. But I don't think this will continue. These guys will get better with time. All right, I'm Christian Fourier, and this has been the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now. Let's get into this Buffalo game. Not that you're in a tough spot, but it's a tough place to play up there. They beat you up there last year. They're sitting there. They're 2-1. A lot of big-name additions to that defense. How do they look? Do they look the same, or have those impact players really helped them to get to that record they're at right now?
Well, I think that the three new players that are playing a lot for him, Mario Williams, Mark Anderson, and Stephen Gilmore, have all definitely helped them. They're all very talented players. But they're also playing very well as a unit, and they do things well up front. They're consistent. They're playing with good technique, and they're not giving up a lot of easy plays that make you work for everything. So you've got to do a good job and execute well against them, or they'll make you pay for it.
Very active front you faced in Arizona. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers-style defense, move guys around. You look at this front seven. How do you compare to them to the teams you've played already? And Tennessee had a good one up front. That was a 4-3 team. How active are they up front?
Well, they're pretty active. First of all, they play a lot of guys. They got seven or eight guys that they roll through there. You know, Kyle Williams and Darius are very active up front. They also use Carrington, Spencer Johnson in there. And then outside, of course, it's Mario Williams and Mark Anderson. And of course, Kelce, who's been there for a while, is a solid player. He's also part of that defensive end rotation. So those guys are all good. They're active. You know, they hustle, they play hard, they got good playing strength, and they'll be a challenge for us.
You got our young team, take them on the road again. You look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you look at the way he plays, and when he's effective, it seems like he gets the ball out as quick as he can. How do you counter that defensively, where you want to get pressure, you try and get pressure on a guy, and you also want to help your secondary cover? And I think, you know, pressure goes hand-in-hand with coverage. How do you get after a guy when he gets rid of the ball so fast?
Well, I think that, just as you said, it's a combination of pressure and coverage and covering the receivers and not allowing them to get in their routes cleanly forces the quarterback to take a little bit longer to figure it out, get rid of the ball, wait till they get open and so forth, gives the pass rush a little bit longer. So those are all things that we can do from a timing standpoint defensively in our favor to be disruptive in the passing game. And, of course, you know, they're leading the league in rushing, so that's a big challenge for us too. So you can't put all your attention to the passing game when they have such a good running game and such an explosive running game. So they're well balanced. They do a good job offensively. And Chan Gailey is, you know, one of the best offensive coaches in the league, and he does a great job of keeping you off balance and using all his skill players and getting the ball in all places. So defensively, you have to cover everything.
All right, last time I checked, you're not on Twitter yet, but it's time for now. The Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week comes from @RobinsonZS. Says, Coach, looking at your team, there's two losses there, but he sees great upside. We want to know what you like most about what you've seen from your team through 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, we're definitely competitive. We're in every game. We're right there. We've just got to do things a little bit better to put those games in the win column. And hopefully we'll be able to do that.
All right, sounds good. If you want to ask Coach a question like Robinson ZS did on Twitter, you've got to follow us @Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. We'll be back later in the show with the Bellastrator. Buffalo Bills, little Freddie Jackson maybe at some point. Is he back?
Yeah, running game, passing game, kicking game. They're pretty solid all the way around.
Big up front. All right, Coach will be back later in the show as we get into the Bellastrator. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We'll go behind the scenes of the Patriots' home opener and the television broadcast.
You know, I take it seriously. I study more now, actually, than when I played.
You are watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, the official shave of the New England Patriots. By Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the New England Patriots.
This week, it's a short trip to Sharon High School, where we honor Dave Morse as our High School Coach of the Week, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. The Eagles moved to 3-0 on the season with a win over North Quincy last week. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett.
Congratulations on a great win.
Thank you very much.
The New England Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Sharon High School football program in the name of Coach Morse. Congratulations.
This week's player profile is brought to you by Pepsi.
For those of you old enough to remember, Dick Stockton was the voice that called Carlton Fisk's game-winning home run in the 1975 World Series. 37 years later, Stockton is still going strong as he was part of the announcing team that was here in Foxborough for the Patriots' home opener. Here's an inside look behind the scenes of the Fox television broadcast.
Lock out Brady, take three. Push tight, Danny.
Let's see what happens.
That's perfect.
All right, put five on the line.
Three, two, one.
And hit it, go.
And Tom Brady leads the New England Patriots onto the field.
I have never worked a day in my life doing any sport. NFL is at the top of my list. I love the National Football League.
And welcome, everyone, to Foxborough. Dick Stockton along with John Lynch.
I'm one of those guys that likes to study. What's the exam this week?
You're back on A.
Super.
Super
effective.
36. Is there ever a case where on the field when you play them, they may be different or better or faster than you see them on film? Is that a factor here?
Absolutely. I think that's the one thing about playing a team or playing a guy that you really know. You know, division games where you match up against the same. You know how strong they are. You know how fast they are. You know how what their tempo is at the line of scrimmage. Those, you know, you get a team you haven't played in 3 years. They're sure you watch them on film. You're for them, but then sometimes you get out there in person and like, oh, this guy's a little stronger than I thought he was, or he's faster than I thought he was. Or that kind
of. When you study a team for a broadcast, you leave knowing that team.
Video help on 6-3. 38 effect A.
I know you got to get to practice, so we'll get right to it. You know, last week, impressive win for you guys.
If Dick and I are going to take some of their time, we better ask some questions that show we've done our homework. Because I remember being that guy, and when a guy showed up, tell me about your team, and there's nothing worse than that. And so, you know, I take it seriously. I study more now, actually, than when I played.
Hey,
I
you gotta get Dick to take me there. I can't just come in, so yeah.
You know, offensively, obviously, the thing that stood out was the balance. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're gonna be at our best over the course of a long season, you really have to have everyone involved.
What I'm trying to get is maybe some insight. I mean, anybody can read a media guide and tell you about statistics, but stories within the stories, you know, what makes certain players tick, what makes Bill Belichick such a special coach, and those are the things that are intriguing for me, and I learn something every week, which is pretty cool.
And I think the thing is, you know, Belichick doesn't let you get away with not doing your job and what's asked of you. Every day is relentless, practice after practice. You always joke because he always starts the meeting off. All right, guys, it's a big day today. You know, we've got a lot to cover. We've got to get a lot done, you know. And we always joke, like, you know, he's going to come in one day and be like, all right, guys, not really an important day today. Whatever we mess up today, we can get tomorrow. But every day, it's just like, boom, 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 boom. You know, at 8 o'clock meeting, you know, he's on the film and, you know, he's going through 60 plays of, you know, we're going to lose the game if we don't get this right. And you're like, what, you know?
I want people to get to feel my passion for the game.
He gets off the block. He's playing like a linebacker there in four.
He should be in tighter, though. He should be offsides on big.
To be in a booth, and we don't know what's going to happen, to a blank canvas, and the human drama is going to unfold, and you have to put the words to it and capture what it's all about, and it never gets old.
Stay here, right?
X. Rolling. Ready, X next.
Yeah, give him the card now.
Take it back, Clyde. Take it back, Clyde.
Loses the ball. He lost the ball. In the air. The Patriots may have it.
There's a ton of execution and work that goes into it. Just share some insight as to when that comes together. And that's what keeps it so fun for me.
Dick, another way to do it is what they just did, is run the football. No better way to take the sting out of a pass rusher than run the football right at him.
The opportunity to work with Dick Stockton, it's just a treat. A Hall of Famer, you know, and I'm getting the chance to work with him.
What the Cardinals have done till now is wonderful, but this is a champion in the New England Patriots.
It's just a blast. I get so much wisdom, and we have a lot of fun together.
My philosophy is easy. The game's the thing. Let the analyst be the key to the broadcast, because he is telling you why things are happening and how things are happening. I'm having the story go along, and I'm setting the tone, and hopefully making a dramatic feel to what the game is all about. And at the end of the day, what I want to do is to say, I enjoyed listening to those guys, and Boy, John Lynch made some great points. Then I know we've succeeded.
Playing at a school called Colorado Springs Christian down in Colorado Springs, and they had a pretty fast running back. Nate was a middle linebacker for us as well on defense, and that kid got outside, broke containment, and was headed down the field, and he ran him down and made the tackle about 60 yards down the field. It so happened that the University of Colorado had that copy of that game, and the coach that was recruiting him will tell the story that he watched that play, shut the video projector off, went and got the rest of the coaches on the staff and brought them into the room. They watched that one play and said, this kid can play.
From there, it's a smooth transition into running up the field, all right? Ready, go!
When he first moved here, his experience was in wrestling and skiing and kind of some outdoor sports. I don't think he'd ever played an organized team sport prior to that. My recollection, he's probably already 6'3 or 6'4, you know, heads above everyone else. Also, he was just very quiet and humble. I always thought he had potential to be a college level athlete. I don't know if anybody knew he would play in the NFL at that time, but he was so humble. I don't know if he really had that dream or even thought that a possibility. He always saw himself as just kind of a normal high school kid.
With the 17th pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Nate Solder.
You know, sometimes people accomplish a lot of things, but they kind of trump on people in the process, and Nate's just the opposite of that. So I think everybody wants good to happen for me. I would say my biggest influence was just helping him have the dream of playing beyond the high school level. So I kind of was always trying to paint that picture for him along the way and help him have the vision that he could play at the next level. So I would say if I played any part, it was probably giving him that vision.
Following behind the block of number one draft pick Nate Solder on the left side.
It's unbelievable to think that, you know, he played here at our little high school, and I was involved in coaching him and teaching him and even know him. He's used the giftedness he has and worked hard enough to get to the level he's at. I'm not in a role to offer advice or coach him anymore. I just want to encourage him and congratulate him.
That was Nate Solder's path to the NFL.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. Here with my boy Christian Fourier. It's Buffalo week.
Yeah.
Not that we get excited about eating Buffalo, but Freddie Jackson killed this team last year. What's different? I think the linebacking crew is different. I like Hightower on the edge on first down. I like spikes in the middle knocking someone's head off. Who's going to cover Freddie Jackson on
it's
third
gotta down? It's got to be Jerod Mayer. And if you're Buffalo, you want to try and find a way to get spikes on him. You want to maybe get the rookie Hightower on him because I'm not sure how good he is in space. But the Patriots have to make sure that they find a way to keep Jerod Mayer on the field on every single down so he's responsible for Freddie Jackson. Because this guy's tough in space, and you want a veteran who's be able to cover him. He goes outside, you got to be able to break underneath him. The most important thing is, like, Jerod Mayo knows where his help is. Schematically,
right.
He'll make sure he's going to be in a good spot. He might not be able to run with him physically, but he can draw him to a position where he has help.
He can run lateral better than spikes, better than Hightower, and this is where Jackson could kill you. Help on pass protection. Fitzpatrick's looking to get rid of the ball quick. Now, all of a sudden, he's on that flare. He catches that ball here. That hurts so bad. No,
kill
it didn't hurt. I'm so damn tough.
But his ability to run side to side, yeah, speed, make sure he knows where his help is, and make the tackle in open space, because not only can he catch the ball, I mean, he can make you miss in space.
I like what you're thinking. Veteran on veteran. Don't put a rookie in a spot where he could get hurt this early on the road in the season. There's your Turf segment. See you next week.
I'm Jackie Britton with our opponent news. A second straight week on the road for the Patriots means a trip to Orchard Park to take on the 2-1 Bills. The The Bills made a lot of high-profile moves during the offseason. After beating the Patriots at home last year, they hope these moves will help them close the gap.
They're the ones that have owned this division for a lot of years now, and the division always goes through them. And so for us, regardless of the record, I mean, they've lost two very tough games. And so we know that this is a very good team, one of the best in the NFL, and we've got to come out and play our best game in order to compete.
For the latest up-to-the-minute Patriots news, be sure to check out Brian Lowe and myself every day on Patriots Today. Now it's time for Coach Belichick to show us a very talented Bills team in all three phases of the game. It's time for the Belistrator.
Time now for the Belistrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. Buffalo, a little special teams look here, Coach.
Right, we'll start here with number 21, Leotis McKelvin, a punt returner, leading the league in returns, over 30 yards a return. This guy's really explosive. He's got good speed, and in this play against the Jets, you can see they start to form the wall out here. McKelvin's got it. He's gonna get to the edge, and you know, it's going to be trouble. But you can, all these blockers are out here. The Jets' coverage is all trapped kind of on this one half of the field up on top, and McKelvin hits the edge.
How critical in a game like this, you know, divisional game, on the road, loud environment again, field position. You got to be right on special teams-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's critical. No doubt about it. It's absolutely critical. Of course, you know, we've got the running game here, and that sets up the play-action passes. So the Bills are leading the league in rushing yards per attempt. This is Scott Chandler, the tight end, number 84, coming across the field on a bootleg. So Fitzgerald rolls out, and it's not bad coverage by Kansas City, but not quite good enough. And Chandler's a big target, runs well after the catch. So, it's a big play for him, 40-yard gain to get out of their own shadow, their own goalpost, to get out to midfield on one shot.
And they got a pretty good stable of backs. And once you get those backs going, that opens up the play-action game. If you can't run the ball, you can't play action.
Absolutely. And they do both very well. And, of course, they're in this empty formation quite a bit as well, five receivers or five detached receivers. Stevie Johnson up at the top of the screen, number 13, comes on a little under route. Again, they can make big plays down the field, and they can also do things like this, the catch and run plays to Johnson, or we saw one there to Chandler. We saw one, Spiller, the backs. So
sure.
They're all very dangerous.
All right, defensively, they're big up front.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Kyle Williams and Darius, the two real productive inside guys. They're very disruptive. Here's Kyle coming off, getting a cutoff block on the backside, right in the middle of the backfield, a five-yard loss. That saves him a touchdown, goes from first and goal on the 5 to second and goal on the 10. Here they're in a little game with Kyle Williams going first. This is Darius wrapping around against Kansas City. And, you know, these guys are very disruptive, hard to block, and then one of them crosses your face and you lose track of the other guy. And of course, they have good edge pressure here from Mario Williams and Mark Anderson off the edge. So real good, active front four. They place, you know, a group of people in there, and they're all tough to handle.
All right, Coach, division game. Go get them. Get back on track.
All right, thank you.
Good luck
you.
This week. There's your Belistrator. We'll be back with more All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence, Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Hi, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on Totally Patriots, we'll get to know rookie Jake Beckett.
Can you show us the warrior pose?
The warrior pose, of course.
And see a whole new side of veteran Deion Branch. And trust me, he's letting it all out.
I've seen a bunch of UFOs.
Plus, this week it's all about Buffalo. Let's say things get a little bit messy. Buffalo sauce everywhere. You're not going to want to miss this.
3, 2, 1.
Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38. Check us out.
They eat the grime flakes? You get buff.
Looking for something different to start your day? Patriots fans can head to Stop and Shop and pick up a box of Gronk Flakes. The proceeds from the newest breakfast cereal go to Rob's Foundation.
Me and my family, we always give back to the communities. We love giving back, my brothers and I. We just wanted to step it up a little bit. So we created the Gronk Nation Youth Foundation over the summer. It's a great way to give back to the communities. And much of the proceeds of Gronk Flakes are going to be going to the Gronk Nation Youth Foundation.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And there's so many things to talk about. Let's go back to the last game, because you cannot blame the Patriots' loss on the referees.
No, and listen, I thought there were obviously a number of curious calls on both sides, but to me it came down to a pattern a little bit that's been developing with the Patriots, the recent Patriots, and closing out games. I thought they had opportunities up 9 with the ball in the fourth quarter, and then obviously up 2 again, while also getting 2 penalties to give 2 first downs on that last drive. I think that, you know, that stuff that we saw in the first week with Stephen Ridley, I wanted to see them be able to grind the clock out a little bit and run the football more effectively. Steve, 6 carries for 3 yards in the fourth quarter is a tough way to try to milk the clock.
Up 9 with 6 minutes to go.
Yes. And, Steve, putting aside that I thought this was probably the worst officiated game that I've attended over the last
15
years.
We're going to get to the referees.
Put that aside. Here's what I think. Bill Belichick, as head coach of the Patriots over the last 13 years, what have we heard? Situational football and rise up in the critical situations. Over the last 4 games, going back to the Super Bowl, to where we are right now, they are not doing that. And we can just leave it right there. And then let's ask why. But they're not doing what Bill Belichick preaches and what is a foundation of his program.
Well, let's ask who, too. Who is not doing that? Are you saying the offense is not doing that? Are you saying the defense is not doing that? Who is not doing that?
Well, on Sunday night, it was obviously both. I mean, they get up 500 yards of offense. And after a great first quarter, where they basically shut Baltimore down, I think 2 three and outs and an interception. From that point on, you really couldn't stop them. They had 1 fourth down stop in the fourth quarter, which was a big play, a big blitz by Patrick Chung. Other than that, they were powerless, and it wasn't all the officials. And listen, I agree with Michael. It was an absolutely horrendously officiated game. But, you know, on the last drive, the key play to me is Devin McCourty letting a guy run free right by him, and he's forced to tackle him. Mm-hmm. Any referee, I don't care, replacement or, you know, Ed Hockley, is going to make that call. You have to make that kind of call, and that's just poor technique, to get to Mike's point. This is situational football. You can't let a guy go scot-free by you in that spot. It's not Patriots-like football.
It's everyone. It's the offense, it's the defense, and it's special teams. One more play, Steve. That's what they needed. They need one player to rise up. I could go through a bunch of plays from the fourth quarter. Danny Woodhead's, you know, rush for minus 4 yards, which I thought was a key play on the second to last drive in the fourth quarter. It looked like right guard Dan Connolly missed a block on Ellerbe coming in. I mean, so it's little things that you might not see, you know, until you look a little closer. Yeah. They add up. You need one player to make one more play to get you through those moments.
All right, so the Buffalo Bills. And here's where the Patriots are in uncharted territory, because they are now 1-2. First time below 500 since 2003. Okay, how do the Patriots bounce back and come back 2-2? Because they could come back 1-3, and then we got issues.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be a cakewalk. But I do think that the fact that you're playing a division team helps. I think it's a good spot for them to sort of go on the road, stay on the road, you know, kind of get that, you know, that team camaraderie, us against them. They believe they were wronged last week, and maybe they can use that in their favor.
I still like this team. You know, I know they're 1-2, Steve, and I know we can always do this. Say, hey, 1 or 2 plays go the other way, they could be 3-0. Yeah. But I believe it. I mean, if Gostkowski hits that field goal at the end of the Cardinals game, you know, that's 2. So, I mean, you can always do that, but I sort of look at it and say, I still like them. I still think they're good. And I look at the AFC, and I don't see a very strong conference, so I still think they'll bounce. I think they'll bounce back just fine, and I think they'll ultimately be there in the end.
Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, I think, are two really talented running backs. It looks like Jackson wants to try to play here. If both of those guys were healthy, and then you had the same kind of situation where you can run and pass with equal efficiency. They've run the ball as well as I think they're number 1 in the league in rushing, Buffalo is. So that certainly would throw a monkey wrench into the plans. Like I said, I don't think it'll be an easy game. I do think Buffalo is building, and they're really turning that roster over to be a much more talented team, and they've added a little depth. I just think the Patriots have too much. And I agree with Mike's larger point. They went on the road to play the Baltimore Ravens in a Sunday night game that Baltimore was dying for that opportunity to play.
That was their chance.
And they lost by a point. I'm not ready to, you know, give up on this season. This is a good football team.
Paul mentions the Bills' rushing attack. To me, what I've seen from them lately is spread the field and throw it, and that would be my concern for the Patriots, given some of the pass defense we saw on Sunday night against the Ravens. Will they be up to the task against the Bills, and a tough place to play?
All right, what do you got for scores prediction
time? I like the Patriots, and I just think the offense is, sort of found its gear last week. That was a little bit more reminiscent. I think Josh is still sort of going back and forth trying to figure out, do I want to be, more balanced, or do I want to spread it and run? Spread it out and throw, and I think that's probably the better way to score some points. So maybe you see that early and then try to run a little bit more effectively late. 31-17, I think the Pats get it done.
Yeah, I like the Patriots 35-21. I like this team, and I think they easily could have won both the two games they just lost, Steve, so I like them in this situation quite a bit.
So they come back 2-2. That's what you're saying.
That's what we're saying.
All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that would do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.